Okay, and the real reason that Drea is with us, and so will Chiné be in a little while, we've got the 28th annual WNBA draft starting 7 Eastern tonight on ESPN and the app. We know Indiana will expect to take Caitlin Clark. The LA Sparks have the 2nd and 4th picks. The Chicago Sky have the 3rd pick. We'll dive into what the expectations are a little bit later in hour number 2. Before we begin that, Alan, can you explain to us, Drea, take a look here. So this is the Knicks postgame show the other night. You and our buddy Monica McNutt. What's happening here?
Somebody's walking into our shot and Monica's going into that mom mode, you know, when you're acting up. And she's just letting you know when we get home. And all I'm saying there is, you know, come on in. I'm being like the sarcastic dad. So that's what we do, Monica and I, on the postgame show. And people are just walking around Madison Square Garden as if they can just wander wherever they want.
Wow. It's your little eyebrow.
Your eyes, too. That's okay. What I'm looking at. Your reaction.
Yeah. The foot stuff is so funny from Monica.
That got 1 million views, by the way, on Twitter, which blows my mind that something that simple could be that funny. But it's her facial expressions and that look right there.
She's
everybody
so
knows your mom has given you that look once.
She's so disappointed.
Not only that, but we can almost barely see in this shot because she's like stomping her foot because she's trying to get someone's attention, like someone's about to walk directly in front of the camera.
I like Ella's reaction. Is kind of like eyebrows go up like, hey, and then he goes, oh, quickly, I don't know you.
I said, come on in. But what you don't see in that clip, though, is when she's done stomping her foot, then she does a little shoulder shimmy to get herself back.
Yeah, she does.
Into on-air mode.
She should have just boxed out, like leg out,
that.
Arm out.
Yeah, or we could have a stage manager there. That could take care of that, too.
We love you, McNutt. We'll see you as the playoffs get underway. We welcome you back out. Number 2, Get Up. We're presented by ESPN Bet. NBA playoffs are directly in front of us. The matchups have been finalized. Let's dive into it. Alan, let me start with you. What is the most interesting first-round matchup in the Eastern Conference?
Knicks versus whoever wins the 7th seed, whether it's the Sixers or the Heat, because A, you got the historic matchup there, but B, you also got 3 teams that are going to get after it physically, 3 coaches that are probably the 3 best coaches in the East as well, masterminds. This is going to be interesting also because whoever wins it might have the best chance to get to the conference finals.
Speaking of which, legs, which of the higher seeds is the most in danger of an early exit?
It's Milwaukee. And look, if Milwaukee loses to the Indiana Pacers, that's a big story. But here's the thing. Number one, Giannis, we don't know if he's 100% yet or how long that's going to last, but Indiana played incredibly well against Milwaukee this year, and their style is a problem for the Bucks defensively. With the bigs that they play, Indiana's going to get to their number every night, and if they get humming offensively, Milwaukee's going home.
And then, Legs, Alan, let me come back to you on this. If we're living in a world where Boston doesn't win the East, which would shock everyone, who does?
Well, again, I'll go back to the Sixers or Knicks matchup if there is one, and that is either one of these teams, because if Joel Embiid can get healthy and stay healthy, they've got a really good team and they've got great coaching. And then there's the Knicks, who are the toughest team. I liken them to like a New York City cockroach. You stomp them, you think they're dead, then they're crawling up your leg again. They don't go away, and they are a hard team to put away, and they could be that team if they get that far in the playoffs.
Okay, the imagery is magnificent. And so everyone understands, Drea just made the enormous mistake of getting here early. So I saw, she wasn't supposed to be
like, hey, come join the show. I'm like, all right, let's do it.
That's right. What we do on this show. You're here, you're ready, let's go.
Sure.
If the Knicks wind up with the Sixers, who do you like in that series? Because everyone has been telling me since Embiid came back, and in fact, if I'm not mistaken, Hembo, in games in which Joel Embiid has played this year, they actually have the best record of any team in the NBA. They were headed in that direction, and they haven't lost since. You think the Sixers are the biggest threat to Boston in the East?
With the way Maxey's playing?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I think so. Because you think about with Embiid, even if he's not 100%, teams play him like he's 100%. The defense and the way they give him attention on the floor, that's going to create opportunities. And then the way Tyrese Maxey's playing, he's been phenomenal. We just talked about how much pressure is on Jalen Brunson. We didn't say Brunson and someone else. Mm-hmm. The fact that the Sixers have this dynamic duo with Embiid and Maxey, that makes them the biggest threat.
That's the point. Everyone will talk about Embiid, but it is Maxey who has emerged as the guy in Philadelphia, and I think the key in the entire East legs.
This is the co-star Joel Embiid needed for the bright lights, because you look at what he's gone through in the past, and look, some of it's been him. He hasn't played as well, but I think some of the issues that Ben Simmons had in the postseason, some of the issues that James Harden had in the postseason affected Joel Embiid's psyche. Now, look, you got to be better than that. You got to play through it. Yep. He's been banged up in the past, too, which he kind of is this year as well, but Maxey uplifts Embiid. He's a confident guy. He is going to do his thing. They've also added other pieces. that Embiid hasn't really played with Buddy Hield yet.
Yep.
Nicholas Batum is going to be a big playoff guy for them as well. And then I think Oubre's
length. Yep.
And he doesn't. Oubre also doesn't have any conscience. He's going to play well. He's not going to worry about the pressure. Yeah. I like Philly's team right now.
Here's the thing. Like Embiid, he gets hurt in the playoffs every year. For those who, breaks his face, and any number of different.
He's missed two games in a series in each of the last 5 years. So he does miss time.
Maybe he's gotten through that now. I mean, my point is maybe the injury is now behind
enough
him.
Is enough.
And he comes back. Again, it does not start easy because they got to play Miami. We all know Miami is a difficult out. They'll play Wednesday night here on ESPN. And then if the Sixers win that, they get the Knicks, which I hate to say it, but is a winnable.
That's winnable. Push that series. I think you can call it that. Now, remember, let's not forget, too, Embiid, the last time we saw him on the court, he landed funny on that knee. He did limp off. He did come back into the game, but still – that is something you have to watch.
And he didn't play yesterday.
Right. They run to rest him, even though they needed the game. But still, that's something to keep an eye on, is how stable that knee is. But can we point out something else in a matchup here, too, when it comes to the Celtics and the Sixers, and can the Sixers upset the Celtics if they get that far? Coaching matchup. Nick Nurse has won a championship.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse will throw every junk defense at you. He will make you frustrated throughout a playoff series. Joe Mazzulla, that's the one knock on the Celtics that you come up with all the time. Mm-hmm. How many times is he going to be the guy you would pick in the coaching matchup? Who are you going to take? That's what you worry about as well if you're the Celtics.
To be clear, for the Sixers to get to the Celtics, assuming they win tomorrow night or Wednesday night, which is not an easy assumption, but let's live in that world, they would have to beat the Knicks, then they'd have to beat the winner of Milwaukee, Indiana. So they're a long way away from playing Boston. In the meantime, let's break down the West. Drea, this is where I think you're really going to get mad at me. But let's start with some of the little prognostications. Legs, what's the most interesting first-round matchup in the West?
Oh, it has to be Mavs Clippers, without a question.
Oh, yeah.
You look at the Clippers obviously leaking oil a little bit here over the last couple of months going into the postseason. But assuming Kawhi Leonard's going to be out there and healthy, you talk about star matchup power, and nobody is playing better in the Western Conference headed down the stretch than the Dallas Mavericks. I love the new additions at the trading deadline, and Luka Doncic has proven what he is capable of doing in a series. That is a fascinating series to me.
Alan, give me a sneaky team that could wind up winning the West.
Let's jump off of what you just talked about. From that series, the Dallas Mavericks, why? Well, down the stretch, they have played the best basketball, not only for them with this Luka-Kyrie matchup, defensively, number one in the league in that stretch as well. So they not only have their two biggest players playing at a high level, they've got their defense where it needs to be. They've got very active bigs. They're healthy, and if Luka, who is an MVP level, can play the highest level, all Kyrie has to do is fill in the blanks, which we've seen him do when LeBron James was leading them to a championship.
I love Dallas. I'm in total agreement with you. And then finally, all hail the OKC Thunder, winning the West, youngest team to ever do it, but who's the biggest threat to them?
To the OKC Thunder, it's the Lakers for sure. Because, look, you got a situation where the Lakers could potentially get them in the first round. Is that the team that, if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder, do you want to see LeBron James and Anthony Davis in a team with that much playoff experience collectively for a team that young? Maybe we're selling Oklahoma City short. We're going to find out. They're going to get an opportunity to prove it. But no matter who they would have gotten at the bottom of the Western Conference, was going to be a star-laden team to take on this team that's led by a 25-year-old Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
So, I love SGA. I'm seriously considering voting for him for MVP. And again, they are by 2 years the youngest one seed in the NBA in the 40 years that they've been doing this seeding. So give them all the credit in the world. But it's going to sound like I'm disrespecting them when I say you would so much rather play them than Denver, no matter who you are. So Drea, here's what I am proposing that the Lakers should do.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, they should not play LeBron James. They should not play Anthony Davis. They should tank the 7-8 game. Take their chances in a Friday night one and done at home against either Golden State or Sacramento and go in and play OKC instead of playing Denver in round one, which is a buzzsaw.
Green,
what do you think?
You gotta go. Just get off the set.
Why?
Off the set.
Tell me why.
Oh, no.
No, you don't tank. It's such bad energy to just be like, you know what? Let's tank to better set ourselves up for a potential matchup with someone down the road. No. No.
Because of the karma. No. You're talking about the karma, or you're talking about the risk?
Just the energy around purposefully losing. You never want to put that out.
Greeny.
No.
Karma is a guy in Denver called Jokic.
that's right.
That's
no play.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You love Taylor Swift.
Yes,
so
I do.
We talk karma. Karma's a guy named Jokic.
Oh, yeah. Right? And Drea, the thing I was trying to tell Greeny about that strategy is this, too. Let's say you go ahead and do that. You now put yourself into a one-game single elimination where you're going home for the summer.
And you're going home for the summer anyway.
And think about who's going to be in opposition of you, knowing that you tanked to get into that game. They're like, no, we're going to destroy this team. Like, the energy in that one-and-done matchup is going to be ridiculous.
So Golden State or Sacramento are going to go in there and destroy the Lakers in their own building on Friday night?
The Lakers have lost in that building before to teams that we didn't expect them to lose to before.
I understand
that. How do you think the league would feel about that?
I think the league would feel very bad about it.
I have a better question.
But the reality,
it's a horrible
plan. Both of you as players. Does this even come up in a conversation privately?
Yes.
Like, where you just sit down and you go, you know,
it's a great question.
We lost this.
It has to come up.
Think about it.
It has to come up in one way and one way only. It has to be initiated by LeBron James in a private conversation with Darvin Ham, Rob Pelinka, whoever it may be. It can't be the other way around. This can't be pitched to the players. It has to be LeBron. If we were to go down that road, and I'm not sure it's a great idea anyway, but that's the only way.
But there's no way Greeny's the only one thinking this.
You don't think everyone else on the team, though, outside of LeBron and AD, know what's going on? Like, for the Lakers, for everyone else on that team, they're like, oh, okay, you're just going to put us out there to lose because you don't think we can.
Dreya, you don't think it doesn't sneak into your head going, boy, I'd rather play the Thunder. That doesn't come into your head at all?
Listen.
Because you don't think you can beat somebody else?
You haven't beaten them in 9 games.
Karma may be the guy on the Nuggets. But LeBron James, he'll stare directly in the sun but never in the mirror. The bottom line of it is he knows it's all about him. He can't beat Denver. No one can beat Denver. They need someone on Denver to get hurt along the way and they not play them till the Western Conference Finals.
But
if they do that, they get there.
Let me ask you a question. How do you pull this off then? AD, how does back spasms feeling? LeBron, that's just a little tight?
Yeah.
Is that how you do it? Or if you're LeBron, you just pick up 3 fouls in the first
quick foul trouble. Oh, that's a foul.
Listen,
can't believe the calls I didn't get. Like,
since we're talking about throwing a game, what's the best way to do it, Greeny?
Let me be as clear as I can be. I'm not saying you throw a game. We're not talking about gambling implications or anything.
You're
like
talking about intentionally losing.
Yes, that's throwing the game.
I'm talking
that's
about
throwing the game. That's exactly what that means.
So what are you supposed to do when you were so much better off losing than winning? Someone tell me what you're supposed to. Look,
lose.
Let me ask you a question.
And try again next year.
Listen, let me ask you a question.
Run it back.
I'm giving you. What is the TV show where what's behind that curtain? What's behind that curtain? Let's make a deal. Here's the. All right. Behind one curtain is Denver. Behind the other curtain is OKC. Which one are you choosing?
Well, you're
door number 2.
I'm asking you what. Okay, so I'm giving you the path to that. I'm telling you that's how you choose it.
But the way you played all season long led to this path.
Wait, you know,
that's your path.
Your two contestants are LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And
yes.
And they're going to admit that. They're going to say that openly. Man, we want to avoid that at all costs. Give us the path of least.
On those shows, you always defer to the contestant. You go, you know what? I'm going to pass. I'm going to let you pick the door, and I'll take the other.
Listen,
door.
The object of the game is to win. The object of the game is to win.
You're right. You have a better chance, obviously, but it's the way that you go about it. The mentality behind that is dangerous, and you put yourself into a precarious situation where you then lose that second game.
Yeah, you're done.
Because you might be playing Steph Curry in that game. Maybe Curry goes off, and you lose to the Warriors in that game, and now you're done for the summer. You don't even get the chance to play in a best-of-7 series.
All right, so
it's a bad take, Greeny.
It's a good take. It's something I think you're thinking about. Of course, they can't do it. They can't do it, but it's definitely something that's in the back of the
mind.
They can't do it. So it's a
when the DeMar DeRozan shot is in the air yesterday that would have beaten the Knicks and made them the 3 seed, is Tom Thibodeau hoping it goes in or not?
Tom Thibodeau wants it to not go in. He wants 50 wins. 19,000 people in the Garden kind of were like, it should have gone in. Like, I didn't know how to feel.
You guys are like the Chicago Black Sox over here. Shoeless Joe. That's your nickname.
Shoeless Joe. I want to be really careful to make it clear I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, you would just much rather not play Denver all year long. We said whoever avoids Denver.
And you know what? Be better in the regular season.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Be better.
Listen, like most geniuses, I will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. But I'm right, and I think most people know it. In the meantime, as we continue, did I miss a meeting? I go away for a couple of days, and now Tom Brady is coming back? I mean, you got to hear what he said, and you got to hear why it makes all the sense in the world.
Father time.
Plus more with Dreya. Chenea's on her way. Caitlin Clark tonight. Let's go. Let's get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up. You are watching our program. We are presented by ESPN Bet. And before we get rolling again here, Drea and Chinee are in studio with us here. I just want you both to enjoy Boban yesterday. Yes. There's nothing better than this. He's at the line. They're on the road. If he misses both foul shots, the opposing Clippers fans will get a free Chick-fil-A sandwich due to a Brickin' for Chicken promotion.
Here's the second. Boban's playing on the ground and say, you want chicken? Here's your job. No, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
He did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
Okay, Drea and Chinee, what did you think of that?
Man of the people. Man of the people. Again, this is when it's acceptable to fail on purpose. The only time, right here.
Shout out to my Houston Rockets.
Give the people what they want.
We had a run, but this was the biggest win of the season right there.
All right, so the Rockets with the win, the free throw, the chicken, Boban, the legend continues. In the meantime, where do we stand in the West? Well, here you are. The Thunder are at number one. The Nuggets are at number two. They await the teams that come out of the play-in. The West games are tomorrow night. Timberwolves Suns is set, the 3-6. Clippers Mavericks is set, the 4-5. Legs and Allen been with us and have just been talking nonstop all morning long. But we are delighted to have Drea and Chinee here. So, listen, I'm just going to say it again. I'm going to say it in duck. And you just ask Malika what she thinks of this, and Steve and all the guys out there. The Lakers have a game tomorrow night again, in which if they lose, then they get a one-game season at home Friday night. If they were to win that, they get OKC in round one. If they win tomorrow night, they walk directly into the buzzsaw, which is the Denver Nuggets at number two, which is a script that we've already read. They played them last year in the Western Conference Finals. I have raised, somewhat hesitantly, the possibility that since it is infinitely better for them to lose this game tomorrow night than win it, that they should at least consider doing that. Chinee, your thoughts.
So you never want to make the basketball gods mad by dishonoring the game, but...
Oh, I may have one.
No.
Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
No.
Look, I think it never works to your advantage when you plan to lose or design to lose, right? But in this circumstance, there is a favorable matchup for anyone, and that is avoiding the Denver Nuggets. And to me, it's wild that the Los Angeles Lakers have had a tremendous season from their stars. LeBron James, age 39, averaging 25 and so. And then also, AD has played 76 games, y'all. I know people were looking at AD and saying, were laughing at him when he said, hey, I want to play every game this season. Well, he came pretty close. I don't think you ever dishonor basketball and try to lose. And I do think there's an advantage in playing the Nuggets early, where last year their struggle was having the gas to play them in the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you let the chips fall where they may.
Yell at her.
I think you got Chinee.
You've been yelling at me. Alan and I have won. We've got Chinee on our side of this.
She's not on the side. It was a right. But. What was your first sentence? You should never
disgrace the basketball guy.
Bam, stop there.
No, and then the conjunction. There was a conjunction.
Hold on.
Second part. The part after the conjunction was, obviously it's a better matchup. But the part she said first is really where we're coming down here. She's not siding with you two. She's siding with us. You don't do it. And here's what I said, Chinee. Here's the problem with it. This is different than, like, say, the last game of the regular season that could determine you playing a best of seven against a different team. Totally different because you're guaranteed a best of seven series. That's not what this is. You then put yourself in a one-game single elimination game if you don't win that one, where you could lose to, say, the Golden State Warriors, and you're done. You're going home for the summer. You didn't even get into a best of seven series. And anything could happen in a one night single. But
especially when the basketball gods are angry.
And based off of how the Warriors have been playing as of late.
Hang on, you're selling the idea of anything can happen against Denver. You could win that series. But if you play in the eighth seed game, oh, you could lose that game. Totally different mentalities. First of all, it doesn't matter. Because you remember when AD wore the That's All Folks t-shirt in New Orleans? Remember that, to get himself out of there?
Of course.
He might as well wear it if they win after that game as well. Because that's all, folks. There's your last win of the season. Because you have to go to Denver now and face that juggernaut.
Guess who else we may have on our side? Zach Lowe, the Low Post podcast, obviously as good a basketball insider as there is in the industry, texted Legler and me, and he wrote, and I follow, I quote, "You are nuts for saying the Lakers should throw this game, or maybe not." That's the point. It's the or maybe not. Look, if the objective is to go as far in the playoffs as you possibly can, and again, it's an uncomfortable conversation to be having in the world in which we live today about tanking games, that's not really what I mean. I just mean you're much better off losing than you are winning. And if there is some way of manufacturing that, is it something that wouldn't even come up? It wouldn't even come up?
No, it couldn't come up. The only way it could come up is if LeBron James is the one that initiated the conversation by going to his coaching staff, the organization, and his teammates. It can't be the other way around.
If you're a player on that team, and the coach and LeBron and all them come in to the team meeting today, and they say, look, we've all met, we've talked through it, and this is going to be our plan of attack. What do you as a player
on
that team?
You better be certain about what the response is going to be before you bring that up to anybody in the organization. You better know who you're talking to, and they're going to be all on board with that. Because if you raise that, think about if you're Darvin Ham or Rob Pelinka, and you raise that topic with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and they're not on board with that, do you realize what you've set yourself up for as a head coach?
Yeah, I think as competitors, even though it might be fortuitous to look for the path of least resistance, that's not how these guys are wired.
Yeah.
I think they're wired to win where they can. Exactly. And then on top of it, when you're the Los Angeles Lakers, at the end of the day, you're probably going to run into them. And I think last year it was the fact that you ran into them so late in the season and into the series in the postseason versus if you have an opportunity to take a stab early, I like my chances as well.
Yes, you want them earlier rather than later. Yes. And in a seven-game series, you're not that you want to wish injury or anything can happen in a seven-game series. So I think you take your chances there.
All right, fair enough.
Injunctions, word of the day.
Once again, I've said it before.
By the way, Zach agreed with both of us. He agreed with both of us.
That's so did Shanae.
Exactly.
We got to win somebody over.
That's exactly. If our show was going, if your show was going up against the competition, would you be like, hey, guys, I'm going to sit this one out so that we lose? You wouldn't do that.
Well, don't be ridiculous. But you're bringing up an issue that we just don't have. That's a whole other conversation for a whole other time.
We run the table here.
Let's get to what Shanae and Drea will spend the rest of this day doing, and that is getting ready for the WNBA draft. And so, Drea, I'm starting with you here with this question. Will Caitlin Clark's fame, her popularity, practically unprecedented in the history of the sport, will that carry over to the WNBA?
Yes, 100%. It's already carried over to the WNBA. Ticket prices for the Indiana Fever, just by anticipating her being the number one pick and going to that organization, the ticket prices have gone up. People will tune in to see, will Caitlin struggle or will she have success? Either way, people are going to tune in. Her popularity carries over.
Well, which will she do? Chinee, can she be a dominant player right away?
I don't think she'll be dominant because everyone has welcome to the league moments. I had that as a rookie going in as a number one pick overall, but I do think she will be very impactful. One thing that translates to the W, shoot or shoot. She can knock down shots. Set the record for most threes in a season. We know she's the greatest shooter the game has seen, men's or women's. That's going to work. She's going to have teammates that find her, and she's also going to find her teammates. So she plays a very balanced attack. Now, people know her for averaging 32 points per game. That ain't going to happen in the W because everyone understands that there's a transition. But I can see her averaging from 12 to 17 just based off of her shooting ability.
Andrea, the other thing that people are talking about is the Olympics. The Olympics coming up this summer. It would be rare but not unprecedented for a player right out of college to be on the Olympic team. What do you think of her going on there?
There is a strong possibility that they put Caitlin on that team. I don't know how many minutes she would play, but it happened with Breanna Stewart 2016. She had a great college season, was on the Olympic team. With Caitlin, again, her shooting ability. Let's get her in this USA field, get her the experience in being an Olympian, and potentially put her out there to space the floor.
There is a precedent where USA basketball takes a top player from college and puts them on the Olympic team to sort of continue to pass the baton. But also positionally, Chelsea Gray coming back off of injury. Yep. You look at circumstances where Diana Taurasi is older, Sue Bird retires. Point guards, I mean, Sabrina is there, but they need depth at that position, and why not?
For the record, it was a completely different time and place, but when the original Dream Team was put together in 1992, the first time that we sent all of our NBA stars, they did take one collegiate player, which was Christian Laettner, and put him on that team. So, you know, again, it's a different circumstance and different reasoning behind doing it. Okay, so we all know about Caitlin Clark. She was on Saturday Night Live the other night. She is a star of practically unprecedented magnitude. But if there's another thing that happened in this year in college, women's college basketball, a lot of other stars were born. So Dr. Drea, ahead of tonight's WNBA draft, give me three other rookies that will have immediate impact in the WNBA.
Immediate impact. Okay, so my first one is Camila Cardoso, because first of all, she is coming off a phenomenal national championship winning performance in the tournament. She's 6'7". She has played with grown women before with her national team in Brazil. So she has experience going against grown women, and all she has to do is come in the game and be herself. Rebound, finish at the rim, block shots, play defense. Camila will have impact. This is a sneaky one. Nika Mule will have an impact. If she has an impact coming off the bench, that's fine. She will have an impact. Players that come from the University of Connecticut are ready for the WNBA to at least come, fit in a system, know their role, play well. And for me, I would like Nika to go to the Liberty, where they need defense from the guard position. What can Nika do? She's a seatbelt. She can defend. So if she goes to that team and has that role, we could see her play really well. Last one, Rekia Jackson. Shout out to the Lady Vols, because go Lady Vols.
Obviously.
But Rekia and her ability to be a natural, gifted scorer and hit tough shots, she's going to have to do that in the WNBA. We saw her put up 33 points on 60% from the field in her last collegiate game. She won't do that, but she'll score in the league.
Will Caitlin Clark be the Rookie of the Year next year?
I think so.
She's
going to have opportunity. I know what it's like to go to a team that needs some help. You know, she's going to go to a team where she will be impactful, led the NCAA in assists and points. She'll have great experience. I think she's definitely a favorite for Rookie of the Year.
All right, both of you stay here. I'm going to do something else in a minute that you're going to both get the chance to yell at me, so we look forward to that. But first, I'll remind you, tonight, it's the 28th WNBA Draft, 7 Eastern on ESPN in the app. Chinee and Drea will be there. Caitlin Clark will be there. She's overwhelmingly expected to go number one. The Sparks have the second and fourth picks. The Sky has the third. As we continue, this is what we're going to talk about. Who is under the most pressure in the entire NBA playoffs? I will give you the definitive answer. And then Drea and Chinee and company will tell me where I got it wrong. And first, speaking of getting it wrong, let's see if Legs can get this one right. Which NBA franchise has the most playoff series wins after the Lakers and the Celtics? The answer is next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back on Get Up. You are watching our program. We are presented by ESPN Bet. And before we get rolling again here, Drea and Chinee are in studio with us here. I just want you both to enjoy Boban yesterday.
Yes.
There's nothing better than this. He's at the line. They're on the road. If he misses both foul shots, the opposing Clippers fans will get a free Chick-fil-A sandwich due to a Brickin' for Chicken promotion.
Another point of
Here's the second.
Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's Here's your job.
Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
He did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
Okay, Drea and Chiney, what did you think of that?
Man of the people. Man of the people.
Again, this is when it's acceptable to fail on purpose. The only time, right here.
Shout out to my Houston Rockets.
Give the people what they want.
We had a run, but this was the biggest win of the season right there.
All right, so the Rockets with the win, the free throw, the chicken, Boban, the legend continues. In the meantime, where do we stand in the West? Well, here you are. The Thunder are at number one. The Nuggets are at number two. They await the teams that come out of the play-in. The West games are tomorrow night. Timberwolves Suns is set, the 3-6. Clippers Mavericks is set, the 4-5. Legs and Allen been with us and have just been talking nonstop all morning long. But we are delighted to have Drea and Chiney here. So, listen, I'm just going to say it again. I'm going to say it in duck. And you just ask Malika what she thinks of this and Steve and all the guys out there. The Lakers have a game tomorrow night again, in which if they lose, then they get a one-game season at home Friday night. If they were to win that, they get OKC in round one. If they win tomorrow night, they walk directly into the buzzsaw, which is the Denver Nuggets at number two, which is a script that we've already read. They played them last year in the Western Conference Finals. I have raised, somewhat hesitantly, the possibility that since it is infinitely better for them to lose this game tomorrow night than win it, that they should at least consider doing that. Chiney, your thoughts.
So you never want to make the basketball gods mad by dishonoring the game, but...
Oh, I may have one.
No.
Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
No.
Look, I think it never works to your advantage when you plan to lose or design to lose, right? But in this circumstance, there is a favorable matchup for anyone, and that is avoiding the Denver Nuggets. And to me, it's wild that the Los Angeles Lakers have had a tremendous season from their stars. LeBron James, age 39, averaging 25 and so. And then also, AD has played 76 games, y'all. I know people were looking at AD and saying, were laughing at him when he said, hey, I want to play every game this season. Well, he came pretty close. I don't think you ever dishonor basketball and try to lose. And I do think there's an advantage in playing the Nuggets early, where last year their struggle was having the gas to play them in the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you let the chips fall where they may.
Yell at her. I think you got
Chiney.
You've been yelling at me. Alan and I have won. We've got Chiney on our side of this thing.
Wait, she's not on the side. It was a right. But. What was your first sentence? You should never
disgrace the basketball guy.
Bam, stop there.
No, and then the conjunction. No, there was a conjunction.
No,
hold on. Play.
No, what's
your function?
The part after the conjunction was, obviously it's a better matchup. But the part she said first is really where we're coming down here. She's not siding with you two. She's siding with us. You don't do it. And here's what I said, Chiney. Here's the problem with it. Yeah. This is different than, like, say, the last game of the regular season that could determine you playing a best of seven against a different team. Totally different because you're guaranteed a best of seven series. That's not what this is. You then put yourself in a one-game single elimination game if you don't win that one, where you could lose to, say, the Golden State Warriors, and you're done. You're going home for the summer. You didn't even get into a best of seven series. And anything could happen in a one night single.
Especially when the basketball gods are angry.
And based off of how the Warriors have been playing as of late.
Hang on. You're selling the idea of anything can happen against Denver. You could win that series. But if you play in the eighth seed game, you could lose that game. Totally different mentalities. First of all, it doesn't matter. Because you remember when AD wore the That's All Folks t-shirt in New Orleans? Remember that, to get himself out of there?
Of course.
He might as well wear it if they win after that game as well. Because that's all, folks. There's your last win of the season. Because you have to go to Denver now and face that juggernaut.
Guess who else we may have on our side? Zach Lowe, the Low Post podcast, obviously as good a basketball insider as there is in the industry, texted Legler and me, and he wrote, and I follow, I quote, "You are nuts for saying the Lakers should throw this game, or maybe not." That's the point. It's the or maybe not. Look, if the objective is to go as far in the playoffs as you possibly can, and again, it's an uncomfortable conversation to be having in the world in which we live today about tanking games, that's not really what I mean. I just mean you're much better off losing than you are winning. And if there is some way of manufacturing that, is it something that wouldn't even come up? It wouldn't even come up?
No, it couldn't come up. The only way it could come up is if LeBron James is the one that initiated the conversation by going to his coaching staff, the organization, and his teammates. It can't be the other way around.
If you're a player on that team, and the coach and LeBron and all them come in to the team meeting today, and they say, look, we've all met, we've talked through it, and this is going to be our plan of attack. What do you as a player on that team?
You better be certain about what the response is going to be before you bring that up to anybody in the organization. You better know who you're talking to, and they're going to be all on board with that. Because if you raise that, think about if you raise that, if you're Darvin Ham or Rob Pelinka, you raise that topic with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and they're not on board with that, do you realize what you've set yourself up for as a head coach?
Yeah, I think as competitors, even though it might be fortuitous to look for the path of least resistance, that's not how these guys are wired. Yeah. I think they're wired to win where they can. Exactly. And then on top of it, when you're the Los Angeles Lakers, at the end of the day, you're probably going to run into them. And I think last year it was the fact that you ran into them so late in the season and into the series in the postseason versus if you have an opportunity to take a stab early, I like my chances as well.
Yes, you want them earlier rather than later. Yes. And in a seven-game series, you're not that you want to wish injury or anything. Anything can happen in a seven-game series. So I think you take your chances there.
All right, fair enough.
Injunctions, word of the day.
Once again, I've said it
by the way, Zach agreed with both of us. He agreed with both of us.
So did Shanae.
Exactly.
We got to win somebody over. That's
exactly. Greedy, if your show was going up against the competition, would you be like, hey, guys, I'm going to sit this one out so that we lose? You wouldn't do that.
Well, don't be ridiculous. But you're bringing up an issue that we just don't have. That's a whole other conversation for a whole other
time. We run the table
now,
here.
Let's get to what Shanae and Drea will spend the rest of this day doing, and that is getting ready for the WNBA draft. And so, Drea, I'm starting with you here with this question. Will Caitlin Clark's fame, her popularity, practically unprecedented in the history of the sport, will that carry over to the WNBA?
Yes, 100%. It's already carried over to the WNBA. Ticket prices for the Indiana Fever, just by anticipating her being the number one pick and going to that organization, the ticket prices have gone up. People will tune in to see, will Caitlin struggle or will she have success? Either way, people are going to tune in. Her popularity carries over.
Well, which will she do? Chinee, can she be a dominant player right away?
I don't think she'll be dominant because everyone has welcome to the league moments. I had that as a rookie going in as a number one pick overall, but I do think she will be very impactful. One thing that translates to the W, shoot or shoot. She can knock down shots. Set the record for most threes in a season. We know she's the greatest shooter the game has seen, men's or women's. That's going to work. She's going to have teammates that find her, and she's also going to find her teammates. So she plays a very balanced attack. Now, people know her for averaging 32 points per game. That ain't going to happen in the W because everyone understands that there's a transition. But I can see her averaging from 12 to 17 just based off of her shooting ability.
Andrea, the other thing that people are talking about is the Olympics. The Olympics coming up this summer. It would be rare but not unprecedented for a player right out of college to be on the Olympic team. What do you think of her going on there?
There is a strong possibility that they put Caitlin on that team. I don't know how many minutes she would play, but it happened with Breanna Stewart 2016. She had a great college season, was on the Olympic team. With Caitlin, again, her shooting ability, let's get her in this USA field, get her the experience in being an Olympian, and potentially put her out there to space the floor.
There is a precedent where USA basketball takes a top player from college and puts them on the Olympic team to sort of continue to pass the baton. But also positionally, Chelsea Gray coming back off of injury. You look at circumstances where Diana Taurasi is older, Sue Bird retires, point guards. I mean, Sabrina is there, but they need depth at that position, and why not?
For the record, it was a completely different time and place. But when the original Dream Team was put together in 1992, the first time that we sent all of our NBA stars, they did take one collegiate player, which was Christian Laettner, and put him on that team. So, you know, again, it's a different circumstance and different reasoning behind doing it. Okay, so we all know about Caitlin Clark. She was on Saturday Night Live the other night. She is a star of practically unprecedented magnitude. But if there's another thing that happened in this year in college, women's college basketball, a lot of other stars were born. So Dr. Drea, ahead of tonight's WNBA draft, give me three other rookies that will have immediate impact in the WNBA.
Immediate impact. Okay, so my first one is Camila Cardoso because, first of all, she is coming off a phenomenal national championship winning performance in the tournament. She's 6'7". She has played with grown women before with her national team in Brazil. So she has experience going against grown women, and all she has to do is come in the game and be herself. Rebound, finish at the rim, block shots, play defense. Camila will have impact. This is a sneaky one. Nika Mule will have an impact. If she has an impact coming off the bench, that's fine. She will have an impact. Players that come from the University of Connecticut are ready for the WNBA to at least come, fit in a system, know their role, play well. And for me, I would like Nika to go to the Liberty, where they need defense from the guard position. What can Nika do? She's a seatbelt. She can defend. So if she goes to that team and has that role, we could see her play really well. Last one, Rekia Jackson. Shout out to the Lady Vols, because go Lady Vols.
Obviously.
But Rekia and her ability to be a natural, gifted scorer and hit tough shots, she's going to have to do that in the WNBA. We saw her put up 33 points on 60% from the field in her last collegiate game. She won't do that, but she'll score in the league.
Will Caitlin Clark be the Rookie of the Year next year?
I think so.
She'll, of all
she's
of these.
She's going to have opportunity. I know what it's like to go to a team that needs some help. You know, she's going to go to a team where she will be impactful, led the league, led the NCAA in assists and points. She'll have great experience. I think she's definitely a favorite for Rookie of the Year.
All right, both of you stay here. I'm going to do something else in a minute that you're going to both get the chance to yell at me, so we look forward to that. But first, I'll remind you, tonight, it's the 28th WNBA Draft, 7 Eastern on ESPN in the app. Chinee and Drea will be there. Caitlin Clark will be there. She's overwhelmingly expected to go number one. The Sparks have the second and fourth picks. The Sky has the third. As we continue, this is what we're going to talk about. Who is under the most pressure in the entire NBA playoffs? I will give you the definitive answer. And then Drea and Chinee and company will tell me where I got it wrong. And first, speaking of getting it wrong, let's see if Legs can get this one right. Which NBA franchise has the most playoff series wins after the Lakers and the Celtics? The answer is next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You are watching Get Up, presented by ESPN Bet. And by the way, for the producers of this fine program, there will never be another day where there's not at least one person shorter than me booked for the show again. I feel ridiculous standing here right now. Just let the record show that. Okay, having said it, where the hell is Graziano when you need him?
Okay. Why are you getting astray right now? It's so unfair.
Here we go. Sneaking. Everyone's going to help out Legler here, because Legler's got 4 out of the last 5 right. Which franchise, after the Lakers and Celtics, has won the most playoff series?
I got 3 in my head.
Okay.
I've got the Golden State Warriors, who've been really good at that franchise for a really long period of time.
Right.
The San Antonio Spurs, which had a 20-year run of winning a lot of series. But is that a long enough period of time? Mm-hmm. So my answer ultimately is the Philadelphia 76ers.
Everybody? He's right.
Oh! That is correct.
Let's go.
Do it. Legs. He's killing it. That was a tough one.
Get out of here, Himbo.
The Sixers have won 48.
Come on, Himbo.
Sixers 48. Warriors 47.
Wow.
Spurs 45.
Oh, those three teams.
Yeah. The top three.
Wow. You had it.
Knicks are next. All right, well done. Meantime, everybody stay here so I can do my list here and you can all yell at me. So the NBA season ended yesterday. The playoffs, well, in essence, begin on Tuesday and then officially begin next weekend. So my green list this morning are the top 5 people, teams, and others under the most pressure. I'm going to go through these quickly. At number 5, I put Jalen Brunson. I know what you're thinking. Greeny, he's had an unbelievable season, a breakout season. I get it. The reality is if the Knicks want to make a deep playoff run and they are the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference and they may be looking at Embiid and Maxey in the first round, I think Brunson has to be the best player on the floor in every game for them to win. And that is a lot of pressure to put on a player who doesn't have the lengthiest of postseason resumes. So that's the pressure I see on him. The Clippers, are they ever going to do anything in the playoffs? They're finally going in healthy. So let's see it. Let's see what Kawhi and Paul George can do. They've added James Harden. They've added Russell Westbrook. They've got like a superstar collection of team from 2014. Can they possibly win anything in 2024 in the playoffs? Which brings us to Kevin Durant. I know that this is something, at least it has been painted this morning as a controversial take. Kevin Durant got himself out of Brooklyn, just like he got himself out of all the other places he's ever been, handpicked Phoenix. And right now, it is a miracle they're even in the playoffs, much less the play-in. No one saw that coming. And they're going into a first-round series. If he gets knocked out and his old buddy, his old running mate, Kyrie Irving, goes to the conference final, that's going to be a tough look for KD. I put Doc Rivers at number two. Let's make it clear. Doc Rivers wasn't thrust into the Milwaukee coaching situation. He chose to go to this Milwaukee coaching situation. And from the second he got there, they've been way worse. They went from being definitively the second best team in the East to not even the second seed in the East, and I think a likely candidate to get knocked out in round one. And then number one is the Celtics. Because as Billie Jean once said, pressure is a privilege. The Celtics are so good and such a prohibitive favorite, as significant a favorite as I can ever remember in a conference, that anything short of a trip to the NBA Finals is going to be deemed a massive failure. And does that come back on their coach? Does it come back on their stars? I don't know, and I don't expect it to happen. But if they're not still playing when the NBA Finals begin, I think that is going to be a very, very tough offseason for them to get through, which is why I put the pressure on them. Andrea, reaction?
The list is interesting. I like the Celtics. Everything else I feel like is a little out of order. And you're missing Milwaukee.
Well, Milwaukee is Doc.
You're missing Minnesota, not Milwaukee. Well, Milwaukee. You're missing Minnesota. Look, Minnesota.
I don't think the world is expecting Minnesota to make a deep playoff run. You tell me. Malika's watching right now.
She's taking
notes for NBA Today.
This man is a two-time champ, two-time finals MVP. He played 75 or so games this season. Why is he on the list? He showed up. He's averaging 27 points per game. And this is not his fault. Like the
What is not his fault.
Honestly, the...
When is it his fault?
It is his fault. Well, look, he's someone that shows up and hoops, right? And the problem is that Bradley Beal was slow to join the team, and they didn't find their chemistry, and then they put all their chips on the table for this iteration of the team. I'm not sure that's what he designed for when he first came to Phoenix.
So you think they're making decisions in his absence? They're saying, hey, KD, you handpicked to come here. Now we're going to make all these decisions you don't like?
I think he did as good of a job as he possibly could have done. Maybe it's overall Suns organization, not just Kevin Durant.
Listen, I'm old enough to remember when this season began, and we were talking about Phoenix as a championship contender, and that hasn't happened. So I get it. It's never his fault. He was the best player in Brooklyn, the only one who didn't just fall apart completely. He's been the best player in Phoenix, the one who hasn't fallen apart completely.
But his legacy is certified already.
What?
Right?
What is his legacy?
You know when it was his
fault?
Being
one of the top scorers all time?
This is the time it was his fault. He wore sneakers too big in Brooklyn, and it cost them a series.
And he stepped
on the
line.
That's the one time it was his fault, right, when it was a three became a two.
No, but his legacy is a player who's brilliance is unquestioned. I think he's the best pure scorer I've ever seen play the game in my entire life, with the exception of no one. But at the end of the day, this is the time that it really matters in the sport. And this has not been his time. May has not been favorable to Kevin Durant. And I'm not even sure he makes it to May this year.
I'm gonna merge these two points. Your point, you two, is that not all rings carry the same weight.
Right.
Right? I agree with that. To your point, though, he's a two-time champ, two-time finals MVP. He's sleeping like a baby no matter what happens.
He's good.
In terms of that. Also, there's not expectations on this
certified
team. I got news for you. The expectations have been significantly tempered on the Suns and the Clippers. That's why I don't necessarily think either one of these groups are in there.
Also for Jalen Brunson, though, this is not a full Knicks squad, right? So I feel like he's already won this.
I completely agree. He is beyond reproach.
Thank you.
Matter what happens
Jalen
in the postseason.
Jalen Brunson put up 61 in an overtime loss.
I understand.
He could play his best and they still fall short.
By the way, you got the wrong guy for the Bucks. It's Damian Lillard. It's not Doc Rivers. You brought Damian Lillard in. He played 11 years on mostly irrelevant teams in Portland. You brought him in to help Giannis get over the hump, which means you're going to have to be the best player on that team some nights. You're on that level, and you're going to have to outplay stars on other teams. The pressure is more on Lillard, I think, than Doc.
You don't think Doc looks terrible for the way this whole thing went if he gets bounced in the first
round? Yeah, he's going to take
hits. With a team that was 20 games over 500 when he got there.
He's going to take hits, but at the end of the day, the stars are the ones that we scrutinize in these playoff series, right? We're going to be talking much more about Lillard
if he doesn't play well. We're giving Dame a little bit of a pass because we know his performance in the postseason is what he's known for.
We're
waiting to see what he's able to do as well.
Why is Doc there? They were 30-13. Why did their coach need to be fired? The stars weren't happy. So they had to get rid of a coach at 30-13. So why is Doc even there? That's why you got to put it more on the stars than on him. One more thing, by the way. Can we just remove this? Irrelevant.
The Clippers?
Irrelevant.
No!
So Kawhi Leonard, Paul George.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about this.
Everyone cares.
What's missing is what everybody cares about. Luka and Kyrie. Those two guys are playing great basketball right now. They were paired together to be stars, and they have pressure on them to win. Luka's got to win to get into MVP conversation.
The Clippers team is designed for championships. They got to February, and they ran out of gas. But if you look at the collection of their stars, there's a lot of pressure, especially with Paul George and his potential.
But what's the pressure from?
Paul George and Kawhi. In 2019, they talked about destiny playing together.
But there's pressure on those. Greeny, you were right here, though.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Guys, Minnesota hasn't won a playoff series since 2004. You know what I was doing in 2004? Running around in elementary school. You're saying they're not going to make a run to the finals? They need to win a series.
If you were looking to ruin my day, there were very few ways you could do that better than telling me you were in elementary school at a time when I was hosting Mike and Mike in the morning.
I was watching Mike and Mike.
I was too. Sorry, Greeny.
We were watching Mike and Mike.
How you feeling about your list now, Greeny? How you feeling about your list now?
So you're not just taller than me, but you're also really young.
Let's get closer. Well, let's move in here.
Just better than me and every. Look, she can see over the top of my head. All right, as we continue, how confident is Stephen A. in his Knicks reaching the East Finals? Will the Lakers and Warriors make it out of the play-in? They'll debate that and a whole lot more on First Take as they continue. And I'm telling you right now.
It's okay, Greeny. We're going to be all right.
He's running a point.
Maybe I'll give you my heels next time.
Got it.
Get Up is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. Wednesday night, we got great play-in games. 7 Eastern, we got Sixers Heat. That's the 7-8 game. Then we got the 9-10 is the Hawks and the Bulls. Coverage starts with NBA Countdown, 6:30 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Hey, Alan Hahn, here was the highlight of our show this morning. Just after 8 a.m. Eastern time, Aaron Rodgers, mustachioed and sensational, walking into the Jets, their first day of offseason camp.
It's the best slow-mo since Tim Tebow in the rain. Get this man a fur coat and some pantyhose. This guy is ready for a new season.
For the record, that's a Joe Namath reference in case that wasn't clear. Otherwise, it could have seemed somewhat unusual. Aaron, let's do it this season. First Take starts now. See you tomorrow.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.